I am serving as an incident commander representing the National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, all of Interior, in the Mobile sector. So the Mobile sector runs from Mississippi, Alabama, and the panhandle of Florida. So we're directly north of the oil spill itself. There are seven national park units here in the Gulf, eight if you want to count Biscayne National Park, which is, you know, just around the turn of Florida. They range from Padre Island in Texas to Dry Tortugas on the tip of the Keys. Plus, there are 33 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service refuges on the Gulf as well. And all of these are critical resources, both in terms of their you know, contributions to the ecology of the Gulf of Mexico, as well as their contributions to the economy from tourism. One of those is the Gulf Islands National Seashore. It's 150 miles long of pristine beaches and wetlands on the backside that provide, you know, wonderful opportunities for the public. They get millions of visitors a year and provide the breeding habitat for sea turtles, pelicans, shorebirds and the like.
What is it that the National Park Service is doing? You have survey teams out, you're checking the beaches and watching for the oil?
There are a couple things we're doing. One is what we're doing is called a precondition assessments. In other words, we send teams out of principally biologists to take samples of the water to document wildlife, birds, sea mammals, turtles, areas of pristine habitat, you know, estuaries, seagrass beds, and the like. So all of this is to establish a baseline of condition prior to the arrival of the oil. That way, so when the oil does arrive, then we can compare the pre-existing conditions to the altered conditions as a result of the oil, and that gives us a better understanding of essentially what kind of restitution we would seek from BP, the responsible party, and second, to what standard do we need to restore these ecosystems. So we have this sort of first baseline. So that's sort of job one. Job two is to establish protection for those most critical areas, and that is essentially a booming strategy where we work with the U.S. Coast Guard and BP and the states to selectively but extensively deploy boom. We've got over 1 million feet of boom out right now to protect these key resources along the national parks and the wildlife refuges, as well as other areas along the coast.
I think it's telling that you didn't say if the oil arrives. You said when the oil arrives. And even with the booms being put out as extensively as possible, it sounds like you're looking at a very grim reality that the oil is going to come and mess up these pristine areas.
Well, I think we have to plan for that. June 1 is the beginning of hurricane season. We have yet to stem the flow of oil from the bottom of the Gulf. And as long as there is a present slick of oil on the surface of the Gulf, then there is through the season, then there's a very high probability that oil will come ashore.
And when you see people cleaning up the birds and washing off the animals and they have those squirt bottles and so forth, I don't know what's in them, is that done by the Park Service? Do you get volunteers? Is that a state and local function? How does that all work?
Anybody that is actually handling oiled wildlife has to, first of all, go through training. So it's a mixture of individuals. They're employees of the Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Park Service. In some cases, they're state employees. And if they are volunteers, then they have to have gone through the training that's required when they're handling oil. Or oiled birds. It's a very sensitive thing to be done.
And the National Park Service actually has on its website oil spill safety training. Who would have thought it?
Well, unfortunately, we in the National Park Service have a lot of experience at this. This is certainly not the first oil spill that we've ever dealt with. We were very actively involved in Exxon Valdez. I was personally involved in that one, as well as the Cusco Basin oil spill in the San Francisco Bay here just a few years ago. So our experience, though, has been in the past almost well, entirely associated with tankers, you know, that sort of run aground, and you have sort of a fixed location, you have a fixed amount of oil, you have sort of a strategy around containment of the effects. This incident is unprecedented in that it is a continuous flow of oil into the Gulf, and requires a rethinking of that kind of strategy.
And I wonder, just as director of the Park Service, what your initial ethereal response was when you first heard about the oil spill, when you first heard about Deepwater Horizon. Did you think it would be what it is now, back a month ago?
Well, I'm the first thing I did, I mean, literally within a few hours of this, of me learning about this oil spill, is I dispatched a team down here. We have, the National Park Service has what we call incident management teams, type 2 teams that are trained to respond to all forms of incidents, fires, you know, terrorist incidents, and oil spills just being one of those. And so I dispatched a type 2 team here, as well as teams of biologists. One of the big lessons that we learned from Exxon Valdez is that we didn't have time to get out in front of the oil before it reached the beaches in Prince William Sound. And we didn't have really much of a baseline of information. We were in a little better shape down here in terms of baseline, just in general, because the Park Service has been investing in understanding our baseline of natural and cultural resources for a long time. But I got them out in front of this because, you know, recognizing almost immediately that this is an unprecedented type of spill, that it's coming up a mile down, it's a continuous flow. The technology for shutting it down is not cut and dry, and so we needed to get out on top of it really fast. And so that's the first thing I did, is to get teams down here and make sure that, in particular, Gulf Islands National Seashore, which is the closest to the spill, due north of it, just 40 nautical miles from the actual spill, that we could get teams down here. And that was the first thing I did.